This is the Shotgun City Sheriff, the law himself, Clayton Clark.
This is the Young Titan, Aaron Atlas.
Hey, this is Matt Brannigan.
This is the Warbound Hellhound, Bo Sword.
This is your favorite drunken pro wrestler, a.k.a. the Bud Light Brawler, Dalton Davis.
This is Lizzie Six.
This is Jake Something.
And this is the jaw-jacking, back-cracking, God created all men equal, and then he made me the sequel, Rohit Raju, and you are listening to the Spot Show Podcast.
Spot Show Podcast.
The Spot Show Podcast.
The Spot Show Podcast.
Spot Show Podcast, hell yeah.
The Spot Show Podcast.
The Spot Show Podcast? Yes, right, I stuttered. Shut up.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Spot Show Podcast, an independent wrestling podcast with a few pit stops along the way. And those pit stops are being made by our guest. We're going to get to him in just a second. I, of course, am one of your hosts, the Dr. Seuss of the commentary booth, Dickie Wabash. I'm joined, as always, by that lovely, lovely gentleman over there, Michael Madrox. Madrox, we got a banger guest today.
We got the most controversial guest.
Controversial.
Yes, words are fucking hard after this weekend, okay?
Yeah, we're going to get into this weekend a lot, because the reason I say the pit stops is because this is the man that has been driving us on this incredible, crazy fucking Mad Bash weekend. Guys, this is a guest that you have heard us talk about. Here's what's weird about doing this is that they see the title. They know that Oliver is the guest.
But we still got to play it.
But I still got to hype it up. Guys, the Rizzled veteran, the 5'7" gift from heaven, Oliver Kane, has finally made his way into the Mad Bash studio. That's your cue.
Oh, hi, fellas.
Yeah, man, this is one that we've been trying to cook up for a long time, and then we finally had all the pieces fall into place. Like, we've had, it's not even over. We still have one more thing this weekend, but, like, goddamn, what better way to get you, like, just the timing of how all this came together is just nuts to me, because we've got this ridiculous road trip, and then we just, like, less than 10 hours of sleep total this weekend, probably. Let's turn on the microphones.
Yeah, it's a good 420 and 421 and I guess 419 a little bit too, but
yeah,
I don't know. I was excited. I hit up a couple friends in Ohio at Sin Pro Wrestling. Shout out to GK.
Yeah. We plugged him on the last one. We were going to be there.
Yeah. I wanted to bring you guys in so you could see how it's done in Ohio, 'cause it's a little different in Ohio. And that's kind of where I cut my teeth with the old HWA and stuff like that. You know, I've been doing this for 20 years, so I'm old, but it was nice to have you guys there. Nice to get Shank on a show and for people to see Shank that had, you know,
yeah,
seen him in a while. So
it's always weird to see a crowd see Shank Barzini for the first time, because that's rare nowadays, because Shank has been everywhere in his own right. So like to get like for them to like not know who Shank Barzini is, and then to see, they're like, oh, okay.
It's like a progression arc.
Yeah, the whole it match. Really is. And that goes for all of, I mean, outside of you, of course, like that was the first time they got to see Clayton, Dalton, and Shank. So it was just, it's really cool. And like Madrox and I were, and we are very appreciative for mm-hmm. that opportunity. And thank you to Ascend Pro Wrestling as well. Like Madrox and I were talking, it's like, man, it's so cool to like go somewhere where nobody knows who you are. And like, we're literally just watching the show. We're kind of scouting talent a little bit for Mad Bash Wrestling. We're watching the brothers do what they do. And it was a wholesome wrestling weekend for them. I mean, wholesome, loose interpretation of wholesome, most likely.
Depends on what time of the day.
Yeah.
As wholesome as professional wrestling can be.
Yeah, no shit. But hey, before we get too much into the weekend, we'll let everybody know this episode is brought to you by Yoohoo and Elite Pro Wrestling. You're going to hear a little bit more about them later. Go on over to patreon.com/madbashstudios. Back us at that $5 and above tier. You won't hear about them because you're going to get this show completely ad-free. Got a ton of stuff over there on the Patreon. patreon.com/madbashstudios. But that's not it. I understand. You don't have the extra money that you can toss our way. You can still get some really cool exclusive behind the scenes photos for free over on the Patreon, patreon.com/madbashstudios. One little plug ski, because we've only got one show coming up here next weekend. This coming Saturday, from the time that you're hearing this, EPW Tag Team Warfare. We got two huge Mad Bash wrestling matches. We got Aaron Atlas versus Clayton Clark. And then we've got Chris Cutler versus Johnny Polk, Whiskey and Warrants separating to do their own solo thing on this show. And I think we got, you know, we got to open a match of the year factory at this point, guys, to be honest with you. We just really do, because we don't miss. We don't miss. Not to toot my own horn, but, you know, we don't miss. Let's be perfectly honest here with that one. Yeah, you can go to eliteprofessionalwrestling.com for more information on that. Notice I sped run it a little bit because we have a guest here.
You know he's going to talk.
What do you mean?
Oliver, man. Like, shit. This whole fucking weekend has been a seminar.
Yeah. This is 1 week long seminar that I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. You're going to be like, guys, I'm going to need my rate.
No. It's just good. You know, I've been, since I got back from Tampa a couple years back, I've been kind of just driving to shows by myself. So it was nice to have groups around, like, of good kids and being able to show them, like, where I came from and, you know, just... That's how you learned back in the day. You just rode in the car and you bullshitted and you joked on each other and then questions and answers. And, you know, I don't know a lot, but I know more. And if I can pass down what I know, so you guys don't have as many bumps in the road that I did, then, you know, it's fun to do that. It's good seeing the guys go to a new place and you have the guys in the locker room blowing up the promoter, the booker, like while the match is happening, like, we got to get these guys back. They're killing it. These kids are so good. Where are they from? Oh man. And then everybody just vibing in the locker room and feeling that professionalism and just the talent level in Ohio because of the lineage of HWA is just, it's almost second to none.
Yeah, it was insane. And then just on top of everything, like you said, you know, the fucking car ride, like we talked about it, that the sacred wrestling car, like everyone gets, you know, they, you know, we spin the wheel, click, 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 click. Okay, we're going to fuck with Oliver here for a little bit. Okay, let's spin the wheel. Okay, Shank, it's your turn. Okay, Clayton, it's now your turn. You're going to get fucked. And like every, but it's like, it's never anything malicious. It's just the fucking brothers being the brothers. And like, naturally, it's kayfabe car. There's got to be some. We got to keep the curtain a little bit, but no, man. Like that. That's definitely what. That's what makes the road trip like. It did not feel like 3 hours. Like, and that's like
it's those roundabouts, man.
Yeah. Roundabouts. So do we want to jump into that? Oliver Kane got pulled over while he was driving, and he just pulled over, and he was like,
I'm still a green kid at driving.
He's like, yeah, I know exactly what I did. I'm sorry. It was, but that in your defense, that was a really fucked up roundabout.
Well, the cop even said, he was like, I got cameras on my, he basically said that I pulled you over because there's cameras on my car and I have to pull you over. And he goes, I understand, you know. It was, he basically just checked my stuff and let us go because I wasn't a dick. I was just like, my bad, man. I'm so sorry. And he goes, yeah, if you wouldn't have pulled out in front of me, I wouldn't have cared. But yeah, because I have cameras.
Listen to this fuck about how humble he is right now. That cop pulled up to the window. He rolled down the window and he's like, I'm Oliver Kane. And that cop's like, give me an autograph. You're free to go.
It's so weird to hear humble Oliver.
No, because they pulled up my name and saw my wife's name.
Shout out to the goat. Shout out to the goat. But no, you like, we talk about the being humble or whatever, like, let's just call it what it is. Like, you had the reputation of being kind of a dick because like,
I am one.
You are, like, it's just the truth. But like, that's what I've always respected about you is that like, you don't sugarcoat it. It's like, take me at face value. And we need more of that in wrestling, to be perfectly honest with you. Like, you know, we talked about it and you didn't even remember the story until I told you. You and I had heat for a while. I'm pretty sure you and Madrox probably had heat at some
Never.
Point. I have a hard time believing that one.
Never.
No.
But
I think I was one of the few guys that was always cool to them. Like, yeah. We would joke on them like you do, but
we stuck around and took the shit and gave it right back.
It was one of those things that like, I guess, but the thing is, I do sugarcoat things. It's just, there's this funny, like, if you know me and my old tag partner, Cliff, I'm going to throw him under the bus because I love Cliff. But Cliff, like, for me, just my tone and I guess my face makes things sound like I'm a dick. So I could be joking, but people take what I say serious.
Yeah.
Cliff could literally tell you you were trash and mean it. And they'd be like, oh, Cliff, you know.
Just Cliff being Cliff.
And me, I'd be like, oh, dude, that was really good. But next time when you throw a punch, rear back more so they can see it. And then they'd be like, fucking dick. Sorry. Pardon my language. But
you say what? We all let it fly.
But I will say this. As I got older, we came up in, I think Carrot was talking about like the, just in Brian or Jason V.
Yeah.
We're talking about.
Kind of the same era.
We came up in just like crabs in a bucket, viper, snakes that you had to protect yourself.
Yeah.
Like you were afraid of veterans because if you like stepped out, they would put you in your place. They would tell you what you needed to work. You wanted them to tear you down because if they didn't tell you what you did wrong, they didn't care about you. But they would also, sometimes you would just have to eat garbage and listen like, but I will say, and I think, and you can agree to this, that as much of a jerk as I was, usually with a conversation, I've, you know, I'll own up to my part in the heat or the beef. Yeah. And I'd be, and I, you know, let bygones be bygones and you move forward and we cheese on it. Cause I'm pretty sure, Shank once said that there was a time, you know, everybody had heat with me, but that was just cause I was, you know, loud and obnoxious and that's what we came up in those, that pit of vipers, man.
Yeah. So you talk about the coming up in it, like what was like, was it something that you, cause I'm assuming that this was not the case, yeah, that were you smartened up to that by someone like, and be like, hey, listen, brother, like this, or was it just something that you found out the hard way? And if you did find it out the hard way, if you don't mind, what was the moment where you realized, oh fuck.
I just kind of have like a, I guess I almost have like a sixth sense where I give people the benefit of the doubt at first.
Yeah.
I can tell if someone's trying to work me. Like, you know, you grow up around, you know, not to get too into stuff, but you grow up around people that are manipulative when you're younger.
Yeah.
You kind of know how to read the signs. Like a lot of times you know how to work people and you know how to get over on people and you know how to scam people. But you, if you're a good person, you don't do it.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't do it. Like I see, and I could go further in life if I did that, but my conscience won't let me, but it doesn't mean I don't recognize what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's like, people are like, oh, he's got eyes and ears everywhere. No, it's just, people are a lot more blatant than they think if you have a trained eye. It's like watching a wrestling match as a worker, you can see the little, oh, he's got good footwork. Oh, there's great timing. Oh, look, they covered that up. You couldn't even tell. It's things like that. But yeah, it was just kind of something that I don't know. They were blatant at is it, but back in my day, if you posted something online, you'd say that to the person's face, but you still work on the same shows. Like we just, you know.
Well, but see, and that's the thing too, is that you talk about posting something online, like in the early days of your, like there, uh-huh, that social media wasn't really a thing.
No.
So you like, and like when I first got in like 2012, I forgot for a minute. That's when Twitter was really starting to kind of take off. And that's, yeah, where we talked, that's where you and I got into, yeah, it was on Twitter. Yeah. Because the story is, I think I may have told it on here, we just so happened to be at the same Denny's. Mm-hmm. And you had worked a show that night. I had worked another show.
Yeah.
And I was with my group of people, you're with your group of people. And I had been getting reports about the show that you were on. It was like a small draw, yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So the story is, we're at Denny's, you go up and you pay. I had to go break a 20 to bring back some change for the table. As I'm walking back to my table, I notice that the table is already cleaned off. Mm-hmm. So the waitress is not going to be coming back. So I'm just like, ah, I ended up finding her and giving her whatever. So somehow, I don't even know how, I see a tweet from @HybridKane.
Doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't exist anymore. It says, it was something to the effect of, I scared Dickie Wabash so much that he didn't tip his waitress. To which I reply, at least the show I was on tonight had a good draw. And then you threw a barb back at me. I threw a barb back at you. And we sent like 5 or 6 tweets back and forth. And then I was like, you know what? You're the vet. You're right. And then that's when Oliver was like, boom, 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 like 7 tweets in a row. And then tweets that weren't even tagging me in it anymore. You were just like, these fucking kids come into this business and they're trying. It's like, try bumping first, you fucking asshole, before you even do this.
I don't remember the oh, detail
you,
of this.
You spit but roasted me, dude.
But you
fucking
know,
lambasted me.
It was a sense that when I came up, we were, it was like wrestling was a cult. And what I mean is, I got a lot of heat in Illinois because I wanted to go work other feds. But like, wherever you train, that's the only place you work, unless they gave you this and this and that. And it's not like an HWA in Ohio is a reputable school that at the time, you know, Les Thatcher, I think it's the only place that was WCW and then WWE,
mm-hmm.
You know, developmental. So it's one thing with that, but like when it's just a bunch of the small indies, like it wasn't that they didn't want you to, like your promoter didn't want you to go work on shows unless you could get them booked. And then they didn't want you to, you know, work on shows when I was, they were like, we're family. They gave you the family line a lot, which means we're not going to pay you and you're going to do all the grunt work. And, you know, I get the paying dues, but sometimes you got to look around and saying, where am I paying dues to?
Yeah. And I hope that the listeners are kind of noticing a through line here, because what Oliver is saying, I think almost every single guest that we've had on here has said the exact same shit. It was tribalism, like mm-hmm. at the pure definition of tribalism.
For
like,
loser tribes.
Yeah. V talked about it. Oliver's now talking about it. Carrot talked about it. You know, it's just it's crazy that it's like it was definitely an us versus them mentality. And that's what the root of mm-hmm. the whole Denny's exchange was, because the people that I was aligned with did not like Oliver Kane, and I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. So I'm like, fuck Oliver Kane. I don't like him. But then fast forward a year, we're working a show together. It's the first time we'd seen each other. And I was like, hey man, I don't want no heat. I apologize. And you're like, yeah, I do too. And then from that point on, we've been fine.
Yeah.
We've been great.
And I don't even think it was that big of a thing.
No,
it
really
wasn't.
Came
up to me and I'm just like, yeah, it was dumb shit. Whatever, you know, move on. Because to me, it's like everybody has a part in the beef. Like whether somebody did something bad to you and you're standing up, like it's rarely a blameless beef. And there's always certain times, like I try to get that point now where I'm like, the way I would put it is when bad things happen to people I don't like, I laugh because it's human nature, but I don't go out of my way to make bad things happen because I don't want that energy. And I don't care to have that energy because I'd much rather spend time trying to make good things happen to the people I care about, or, you know, just myself. So that doesn't mean that when the, you know, shit hits the fan for, you know, the circus you're not a part of, you don't sit there and die laughing.
Exactly.
But karma comes around, I'm cracking that joke.
Yeah. And like, that's the thing. I'm glad that you said that, because I think that's the most honest thing, that like, if people were more honest with themselves. And like, it's not like I sit back and wish ill on my enemies. I don't. But don't get me wrong. If something fucking happens to him, it's like, good, you fucking deserved that. Like, I'm not like, you know, rooting against them. But yeah. And I think more people need to be honest about that. Yeah. If I'm being honest.
I mean, if it's something that they bring upon themselves.
Yeah. And that's,
I mean, if it's something that, you know, oh, their house burns down or.
Oh, absolutely not.
You're like, no. Oh, man, that's fucked up. But, you know, if it's something that they did and it kind of is like, you know, the rooster's coming home, it's like, oh, well.
Where it like comes back to bite them in the ass, where like they maybe fucked over somebody and then they end up getting fucked over.
Yeah.
And it's just this whole thing. But yeah, but that is, again, like the listeners, like we've talked about it ad nauseum of like, so then that should cement the fucking truth of like, that's what it was. It was us versus them. Mm-hmm. And the us that you were with, you were just as bad as the them. And like, instead of like working together, no, it was just like, fuck this guy, fuck that guy. And
everyone tried,
like,
to feed the us versus them mentality, but it was mainly an I versus everyone.
Yeah. And a lot of it too is like, I'd get heat from people and I'm not here kissing my ass because, you know, I try not to, but I would get heat because I was the one that I felt like was trying to break people from that.
Yeah.
Because when I would, like, I have never in my life, unless it was a safety issue, have told someone, don't work for this place. Don't wrestle here. Don't this. I have said, if you're, you know, get your reps in, here's what you need to look for. You're an adult because your path isn't my path. And upon saying that also, different people are different people to different people.
Oh, especially in wrestling.
So I might not like this guy, but if he's good to you, and vice versa. So I don't play that game. You're friends with him. You can't be friends with me. No, I'm 40 years old, bro. Get out of here. But like I said, the us versus, I was like the first one that was kind of like, why don't we go on road trips? Why don't we go wrestle here? And you know they're taking advantage of you. And it's like that hard, I get the red pilling term, but
yeah,
sometimes you don't want to hear that.
That hard truth.
That you're getting, you know, it's like, dude, you shouldn't let him do that. Like, stand up for yourself, you know? And sometimes you get that, speaking of the us versus them, sometimes you end up fighting wars that if you would have just left it alone.
It's almost a proxy war.
Yeah.
Where you're fighting the war for the person and you're innocent in the whole thing, but it's just like you're the pawn.
Yeah.
Because they don't have the nuts or whatever to step up because it might hurt their reputation.
Yeah. And you almost end up getting heat with people because you stood up for the guys, or you stood up for somebody, and then that person ends up throwing you under the bus to the guys that you're protecting them from, when it's like, I should have just let him get the shit beat out of him, you know?
Yeah. I swear to God, like, wrestling is not all negative. Like,
shout out to Team Overkill. They know what I'm saying.
Shout out to Team Overkill. Hell yeah. That's that's a deep vault reference right there, brother.
But I'll be honest. With that, I will touch on that because I love those guys. And I've chilled everything out.
For those of you that don't know, Christian Rose, Matt Cage, Alex Castle.
Yeah, we hated each other, but we showed up every time. We booked together, and it was me trying to help protect this Fed that ended up not caring about it. And then these guys that I was looking out for that were doofuses threw me and Shank under the bus when we should have just let what happened. And because we actually got along better with the Team Overkill guys, but it was just like differencing in philosophies.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, like, they could go, we could go, you know, it was all dumb. And I've never talked about this, but it was all dumb. And every time I see them, like, you know, Alex Castle cuts my hair, Champaign, Illinois, go get your hair cut from him. Tom, Christian Rose.
Whoop.
Whoop.
That's his middle name.
Christian Thomas Rose. Yeah.
But I'm on shows with him all the time, and it's just, we laugh and we talk about it because we were cool. Like, we came in and worked a show with Project Mayhem when it was Alex Castle and Christian Rose.
Yeah,
and we liked them, and we you know, but it was like I said, it was they will admit to it. We were all tribal. We were all fighting over dumb stuff. When in the back we look at it, and we're like, God, we were idiots.
Yeah.
So, but everything, you know, I'm so happy. Like, anytime I see him. Like, it's just like I said, me and Christian Rose are those old bitter dudes in the locker room now, where we just show up, BS, have a good time, go out there and kill it, and then drink a couple beers and go home.
It's like you talk. Yeah. It's like the end of an era almost, because it's like, you know,
he's writing you out of history already. You hear that?
It's the end of an era. Hey, Oliver, get your shit and get out.
Oliver's the last bastion.
Bastard, maybe.
Bastard, yeah. But no, like, that's the thing, is that you get to a certain age where it's just like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we doing? Like, we're all in this together, really, at the end of the day. So why are we even, it's like, it's that thing. I think it was CM Punk had posted it, like, not long after the, whenever Brawl Out started, he reposted a clip, a reel from that. I think it was Ice-T had posted on Instagram, where this guy's like explaining forgiveness. And he's like, forgiveness is tricky. He's like, because I can forgive, but I'm not going to forget. He's like, I'm also not going to trust you anymore. I can forgive you, but I'm also going to remember what you did to me, and like stuff like that.
One of my favorite quotes is from DMX. And he says, you trust people to be who they are. And he's like, you trust a snake to be a snake. You trust a rat to be a rat. So that way you ain't got to stress about it.
Well,
like,
you know,
oh, this guy's going to rat me out. This guy's going to throw me under the bus. You understand who they are. Like, when I first meet you, I give you benefit of the doubt, da 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 da. But the moment you do something, I'm like, well, Okay.
Yeah.
I just don't mess with you anymore.
It's that silly old man. I'm a snake. Like, I'm telling you right now what's going to happen, you know? And then you get surprised when it happens. It's like, come on, dude. Like, what?
You should have known.
Yeah, you should have known, you silly old man. I'm a snake. Back to CM Punk promos, which he actually stole from Jake the Snake Roberts.
What, the snake promo thing?
Yeah.
Well, that's just a parable, though.
Yeah, I know. But, like, Jake was the first one to do it. But, no, like I said, like, wrestling is not all fucking negative. Like, I don't want to, you know, the first half hour of this podcast, we've been kind of doom and gloom about it. But, like, you know, let's go back in the fucking time machine a little bit here, because, like, you know, you were pretty much, you, like, Madrox and I's hometown fed, this is the one that we would go to that made us want to be professional wrestlers, was a little company called Crossroads Championship Wrestling. And there was this group called the Chosen Few, and there was this dickhead leading them called Donovan Kane. Wearing
I was not leading the
He was not leading
that
them.
That was Charlie Colton Catch. I'm about to say his Christian name out there. That was Colton Catch.
I thought, I that's where my memory's bad. I would have swore that you were a leader at some
point. No, not in that fed. But no, it was, like Willie Jacks was a moment. Willie Jacks, when it was...
I don't think Dickie was around the Willie
Jacks. I never got to go. So for those of you, there was this venue here in Terre Haute, and it was called Willie Jacks, and it was like this big fucking bar and grill thing. And that's where CCW got its start, right? Was
No, I
think, or not start.
Yeah, but like that was when I came into it. I started around 2004, like right before July before I turned 21, because I had my first match was against Michelle, whatever. I forgot her last name, but she was on America's Next Top Model, and I was fucking hungover.
Which, fun fact, we have that match.
Yes.
So here's another.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Breaking news.
Yeah, quick little tangent here, guys. Like, Oliver did one of those gimmicks where you send in tapes and get them digitized. I have all this footage. And so does Oliver. So we want to do something with it at some point on the Patreon or whatever, where you go back and watch your old matches or something. That would be really cool.
Well, if nothing else, I'd like to have them out there for like, Cliff and, you know, Electrifying or Heather, whatever. But because it's got a lot of old footage. Some of the stuff that I thought I would have, I didn't have, but.
That's memories, Zeus.
Yeah. Yeah, but like that's the thing.
We're not going to say how I did it because we're not being sponsored by that company. But
yeah, there are certain companies out there that will digitize
your
stuff.
They will preserve your legacy.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. But no, it's like you got like 50 gigs or something of like just old footage, man. And like it was weird because you sent me the link and you said, hey, some of these might be family videos. So. Just be aware of that. That I was like, okay, I've honestly, like, that was months ago that you sent me those. I've only just looked at them a little bit.
I'm glad that there weren't some other type of videos on.
Yeah, that's what Oliver told me. He's like, yo, dude.
That's I'm what I joked with him about. He's like, I got the link to the CCW matches.
I went through them first. And but there's a couple birthday parties for my daughters who one's graduating this year and the other one's about to be 15. And geez, like, it rolls by quick. But honestly, if not for the kids, I would probably feel the same 22-year-old. I feel the same 22-year-old in my brain. I just
your daughters are the age when we met. How's that make you feel?
You're a lot skinnier now.
Yeah,
still the same height, but. Yeah, back now. Yeah, like I never got to go to these Willie Jack shows, but like you always hear the legends of the Crossroads Willie Jack shows. I was at the Legacy.
Oh, those were two. That was the Legacy and Willie Jacks. That was when I think my first match was at the Legacy. There's in there.
No, he was
at
the New Legacy.
Oh, the New Legacy. Yeah. Oh, the little like it used to be like a Taco Bell or something.
It was literally.
Yeah, where you had to go through the fucking floor to get to the dressing room.
The one that's literally the size of this spare bed. Yeah, studio.
I got some. That was the one. No. That was.
Paidsky. We'll save it for Paidsky.
But,
he wasn't there for fucking aluminum foil wrap CCW letters, the old Legacy.
Oh, that's my. I did a battle royal and it's on the tapes and then my first match because I had just turned 21 and the show was on my 21st birthday. So my brother-in-law took me to the bar at like midnight and he knew the owner of the bar in my small town. I grew up in Moroa, Illinois. Yeah, sorry, I whistled. That's probably loud as hell. But
sorry to the headphone users.
But
sorry, Clayton Clark is in my house and he is screaming from the bathroom right now.
He should ratchet strap himself to the toilet.
Yeah,
probably
strap that shit down.
But so my brother-in-law takes me out. This is how non of a drinker I am. I'm sitting at the bar. I got a beer in my hand. Well, I'm standing there. He takes his beer, puts his thumb over the top, pops.
Oh, that thing. Oh. Yeah, that gimmick.
Right? I just look, and it's spilling everywhere, and he's like, drink it, you fucking idiot. I'm like, why would you do
that? That's an old bar trick from back in the day.
But so then I'm like, I had a couple Jaeger bombs, and I had...
Hey, you took a Jaeger bomb from Dalton Davis, too.
I had a move called the Jaeger bomb. I can't flip like that anymore. That's pro tip. Sorry, ADHD. Be careful what you do off the top rope, because you have to miss it way more than you hit it. But anyway.
Advice from Uncle Oliver.
That's why I'm still going at 40 years old. So I think I'm good. And then the guy closes the bar down. He owns the bar. We're doing an after party. And he's like, here you go. And he keeps giving me shots of Tequila Rose. Like I had like 9 shots of Tequila Rose. So that next day, by the next day, when I had my match, I went to do a springboard like before the show. And I was like, what? Nope. And then I remember I had airbrush tights. And back in my era, they made fun of me so bad for having tights. Because everybody wrestled in like shorts and
the gym short era and the or, track pants.
There's we have old promo pics.
Cargo shorts.
Yeah.
My old promo pics are. That's who I see, guys. I'm 145 pounds in my brain, but I still, you know, not to get too inside baseball, but if you're listening to this, you are inside baseball. But I'm the lightest 200 pounds you'll ever feel because I know how to assist and use my weight.
He can post, damn it.
He knows how to post is what he's getting at here. But yeah, like those were the funny thing about it though is that like you went way more than I did. I only went to like a handful of CCW shows, like less than 5 probably. And I don't know
your
why.
Your mom wouldn't let you cross the bridge.
No, that's not. Yeah, probably. But no, I don't know why I didn't go very much. But like I was telling you this last night on the car ride, like I remember standing outside of this Legacy building. And this is like when, because this was my first independent show, you know, and like, well, this technically would have been my second. But because the first one was another CCW show. Anyway, I'm rambling. But you still think that like wrestling is still glamorized.
Yeah.
And you still think that, you know, granted, even though these guys like you still think like, oh, you're fucking cashing checks right now and shit. So we're standing outside of the building and here walks up with his hood up. And I'm like, that's Donovan Kane. And he's like walking up and they go, someone in the that was in line was like, late, huh, Donovan? You go, yeah, I had to work. And then it's like, work? But this is your...
He's selling buttons and trading cards in there. Like,
yeah. I didn't sell those. I never got a cut of those.
You never got a cut from those?
You mean
I found one, though. I found a trading card going through the garage because we're moving soon. So I found and I sent a picture of it.
Yeah.
Because I thought someone else had one, but then I actually found one. So it's kind of neat.
We need to get that plaque.
Donovan Kane in my Hooters gear. And fun fact, there's a match on the thing in my Hooters gear at the old Willie Jacks. And it's the show where my... ex-wife was on a date and she had the dude take her home and then went out to eat with me.
But so,
yeah, ex-wife, but, not the cool wife I have now.
No, I kind of want to go back on this. So you're telling me that you didn't make a dime on the rubber bracelets with Sharpie that said Donovan Kane?
Nope. I don't even think I got one.
They rubbed off immediately. Like, whose idea was this? So, for those of you that am I the only one that remembers these? Do you remember these?
I would tell you whose idea it was, but they might hear this. And
oh, I remember.
Yeah, because it they were literally those whenever the Livestrong bracelets were big.
Yeah.
Nowadays, because you had old Juggernauts ones, you know, Josh Steele had ones. You
can get them made for cheap. Custom made for like $30.
But whoever
Oriental trading, bro.
They decided, they were like, let's buy these blank ones and just write Donovan Kane in Sharpie.
Or, it won't wash off.
Or, yeah.
They didn't care.
It wouldn't. Yeah, you would buy it at the gimmick table, and then by the time the main event was coming around, it was already rubbed off.
You lost your $5 already, brother.
I just think they were being nice because what if I was a baby face and then I became a bad guy? Now you can put someone else's name on the wristband.
Yeah. Now that's a worker. That's a worker.
You can
right
even
there.
Change the color of the font, man. Like, yeah. Ingenious.
God, that is an absolute...
Worker workers, the guys that are the worker workers, yeah, they bring, like, they'll bring the mini Sharpies, the cheap ones, and, like, the little notepads, and they sell them because you can make, a killing off that on the young kids because they always want...
That's what, yeah, I'm always losing Sharpies. I'm always losing Sharpies.
You go buy on, go on Amazon and get the box of the, like, or the, I guess it's not even a box, it's like a tub of the little, like, clippy Sharpies you put on your keychain. And
it's like, hey, you're wanting to go get Clayton Clark's to yeah. sign something? You don't have a shirt.
Ladies, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to a Mad Bash merch booth near you.
Yeah, Mad Bash Sharpies. We are trying to change the merch game. But no, like, and that was the thing too, like, as a kid going to my first independent wrestling show, it was just like, oh my God. Like, I remember having a TNT Jack Maverick shirt, and I wish I still had it because so.
Was it the orange?
It was the orange one with, yes. with the dynamite on the front. Yes. He signed it for me and everything.
Yes.
I was more of a fan of the gray ones.
Yeah.
Dude, Maverick and I, there's too many Mavericks in wrestling. Jack Maverick and I.
With a just 1K.
Yeah, we have this bit. I haven't seen him in years.
I love, I've almost said his real name. I love Maverick.
Yeah, we have this bit where when we meet each other, we act like it's the first time we've ever met each other. Like, hi, I'm TNT Jack Maverick, you know, the natural talent. We're like, sir, I'm Dickie Wabash, big fan. He's like, oh, I'm a big fan of your work too, brother. And I haven't seen, I guarantee you, if I were to bump into him at Kroger or like Walmart or whatever, I would be like, sir, it's very nice to meet you. He would pick right up on it. He's a fun dude. I've been on one car ride with TNT Jack Maverick, and it was one of the funniest car rides. He's just in the background going, oh, shuckin', duckin', like just doing Booker T's voice and shit.
First time I ever worked a CCW show or went to one, it was at the old Legacy, and they had it set up as like a dance club.
Yeah.
And so like the ring was in the ring, like still set up, and that ring sucked anyway. That shit was, when they started to break, they reinforced it with like real steel. These were the sides. This wasn't
iron plates.
It wasn't a Mike Samples ring that is wonderful and aluminum or steel, and it's light and it's. This one, like,
that was a spring ring, right?
They put a spring underneath it and then didn't even do anything. It made it worse. The bump was worse. But they turned on the lights and the music, and here's Maverick freaking just twerking on the poles and getting it like the first time I ever meet him. And no, I love him to death. You know, it's one of those things that at the time, there were times where we would clash like anybody because you were, you know,
competitive.
Yeah, snakes, and you didn't want to lose your spot. But when you look back at it, it's just love because, you know, funny story about Maverick. So he started reffing for a little bit.
Yep.
And I did this show.
Good ref, too. Very good ref.
Yes, because he knew he had timing, and he knew where to be, and he knew how to work. we had a show at West T, and it was, it was that fed by the guy, Decap. Is that his name?
ICW.
Yes.
We talk about Decap so much.
So I
unsung hero on Mad Bash.
Yeah, if there was
one time I was getting gas and pulled up to the gas station he worked at that time because they were one of the few that still did full service. So that's random. But this show, I was working this guy, and what's his name? He still works now, and he teams with Napier. He's probably going to be there today.
Oh, he goes by, I know, he goes by Limbo now.
Okay, he's had 500 gimmicks.
This time period, he had a
snake gimmick or something.
He was probably going by Temple Rain at the time.
Yes, so I had a match with him when I had the X Division Championship. I would come in, and Maverick was my ref, and I wanted to do a dive. And Maverick was the only guy that would catch you, like, from CCW, consistently. I mean, other than Cliff or Gary, like, there's
that's why Gary and Cliff like jumping on me,
but Maverick would. So I did a spot where I did a dive with this guy because, you know, I was at that time, they're bringing me in representing the NWA Midwest as the X Division champion, so I gotta, you know, go do this, that, and the other. And I was like, Maverick, I'm gonna do a dive, but I need you to get out there with him because I know you'll catch me. I'm sorry, I'm whispering, Maverick, I need to do a dive, but I need you to be out there so I know you'll catch me. Because that's the only way I would do the dive.
Yeah.
Because I knew Maverick would catch me.
Yeah. He's one of the good ones. He's one of the good, like, I'm trying, like, we would go to like show me's and watch the WWE pay-per-views, and he'd be there with us, and he would just like talk, and he'd walk in and be like, sir, how you doing? We do the whole meat gimmick or whatever, and then he ordered soup, and he would be like sitting like a proper gentleman, like slurping his soup just for no reason. And it's just like, why are you doing this, man? You're so, like, there's no reason to be as funny as you are. Like, it's fucking great. But I say that we keep rolling with these stories from the past after we hear a word from our sponsors. This episode of the Spot Show podcast is also brought to you by Elite Pro Wrestling. Here's the thing about Elite Pro Wrestling, right? You have them to thank for the Spot Show podcast in many different ways. Elite Pro Wrestling gave Mad Bash Studios our first opportunity when we decided to come back into the wrestling business. So Elite Pro Wrestling is one of the OG backers. We love Elite Pro Wrestling so, so much. They are putting on incredible shows every single month. You should absolutely be there, whether it be in Odin, Indiana, Washington, Indiana. We would love to see you in the crowd there at Elite Pro Wrestling for every single thing that you need to know about EPW. Head on over to EliteProfessionalWrestling.com. There you are going to find dates, events, links, everything that you need to know about EPW. Thank you so much for being a day one sponsor, EPW. We very much appreciate it. This episode is brought to you by Yoo-Hoo, a product of Keurig Dr. Pepper. So here's what I want you to picture right now, right? You're on a long road trip. You're driving along and you're thinking, man, I could really go for a nice, sweet, refreshing drink. You pull into a gas station and the first thing you see is Yoo-Hoo. And I gotta tell you, grabbing that Yoo-Hoo, that's going to be the right decision every single time. Yoo-Hoo is available in a variety of flavors, vanilla, strawberry, but here at Mad Bash, our personal favorite is chocolate. I'm going to tell you about Yoo-Hoo a little bit more, right? We absolutely love this stuff here at Mad Bash. We cannot get enough of it. And you know what? We're going to sweeten the pot a little bit here thanks to Yoo-Hoo. If you see us at a wrestling show and you buy a Mad Bash wrestling sticker, you are entitled to one free bottle of Yoo-Hoo on Mad Bash Studios. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Now, come on, guys. You can't beat that deal with a stick. Again, Mad Bash would like to thank Yoo-Hoo so much for sponsoring this episode. So during the little break ski there, we were just, you know, before we went into the break ski, rather, you were talking about being the X Division champion. You know, you said that you were essentially like kind of like going, from my understanding of it, from the way that you just described it, you were just kind of going from territory, quote unquote, to territory to like defend the belt and stuff. Like,
yeah, I because we were trying to reestablish it because we had the SLW, which became NWA Midwest, because NWA Midwest had stopped running because Schumann got sick and, or just stopped wanting to do it. I don't remember. I know he ended up getting sick at the end, but so 0-1, it became NWA Midwest for a while, and then they brokered the deal with 0-1 to be 0-1 USA. But when I took the NWA Midwest X Division title, I was kind of going to some of the other NWA affiliates,
yeah,
a couple of them, like NWA Indiana and then NWA Bruiser City, I think that's how, or Brewer City, whichever it is, the one up in Wisconsin. I remember just being announced from Illinois. I got so much heat. They're like, boo, fuck you, Bears.
And knowing you, you probably had Bears gear.
No, I just did the strictly the blue, yellow.
And gold, the old school blue, yellow. Yeah.
Because of the high school I went to. Well, I didn't show up. The junior high I went to. But yeah, it was, we'd hop in the car, me and Wes. I was the driver, because
Wes is Shank, by the way.
Shank, me and Shank would kind of went on a loop. We went down to NWA Florida and did a thing, and that's where I met a couple of guys that I would end up working with again when I moved down to Tampa. it was, you can find some of those matches. I know the NWA Florida matches online.
And what year is this, would you say?
Probably 2012,
2013.
I don't. Oh, shit. Okay. I don't. I've been doing it so long, I forgot.
Yeah.
But I know, like, it was before it became 0-1. No. Yeah, because it was when Sheik was world champion. And Sheik had just won the NWA world champion because Dark City Fight Club were the, and then Craig Classic was the junior heavyweight. And I was trying to build something to that because I was working with Tony, and Tony was working a program. Tony Kazina, sorry. He was working a program with Craig Classic. You know, just a lot of trying to help bring value to the NWA Midwest title.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful belt. In fact, TNA stole the concept of it for their X Division title, which I kind of like the NWA one a little better because the X is gold.
Yeah, people, like, you always think it's the other way around.
Yeah.
But it's not. So. Actually, I'm trying to act like I knew that. Nope. But for first time first I do hearing it. I always thought that.
But, I mean, you look at the lineage of the guys that held it, Austin Aries, Matt Sydal, Delirious. Those are just off the top of my head. It was, you know, that while I was holding, I held up for a long time just because we were trying to figure out, we were just establishing it. And I still think I have held it the most days, but it's something that, like, one time I forgot to bring it to a show and it became a running gag. So I would take photos of it in my bag and send it to,
just to prove that you actually
send it to Bear just to pop him.
Man, that was the one thing that when Cutler won the Mad Bash title, yeah. I said, you get taken home with you. You're fine with it. I said, and I'm worried that you're taking it home. I said, not because you're going to damage it. I trust you. I said, but you're going to fucking forget it probably when we need you to grab it. And he's like, oh no, man, I got it.
I was kind of a dick with that belt. And what I mean is, depending on where I was and what day it was, like, you've never had that's a legit belt. It's a world title.
It's
a 10, 15, 10. I mean, like, it's a Reg Parker belt. Like, it's heavy.
And it is, like I said, just said, it's a legitimate world championship.
So, like, but you'd go and do these feds, and people, like, the promoter would want to get a picture with the belt, or they want to take it out of the bag. And sometimes I'd be in no mood, so I'd just have it in the bag the whole time until I had to go out, because I'm like, I don't want to have to track this damn thing down. I don't want to
be responsible.
Yeah, I don't like it when they take the belt. I didn't want them to take it to the back, because sometimes guys will take belts back and, like, you know, certain guys, when we brought in Aries, me, Cliff, and Andrew Cole brought in Aries to work at CCW, dudes were taking pictures of his ROH tag title without him knowing. And it was kind of like,
that's shady. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, bro, you're going to get us heat. You know.
Little known fact, that is the show where H-Bomb and Ray Lincoln set themselves on fire in
which
a barbed wire ring.
Find footage of this match.
In a barbed wire ring.
I thought I had that show on those tapes, but I don't know where. But that's yeah. I was sad at some of the stuff not being on the tapes. But it was just like, I don't know. And we didn't really know about lighting, so some of my tapes are just fucking terribly black. Like,
yeah.
Dark. And I was like, oh, these are going to need to be cleaned up. But it's just one of those things that I was proud to do the loop.
Yeah.
With Shank, but at the same time, doing the Mattoon shows and doing all that stuff. And some of my fondest memories, like cage matches and, you know, because 0-1 at the time would kind of like go on. We're all ladder matches. For some reason, we got a ladder match kick, and then all of a sudden we became a cage match kick show. And, you know, just having those guys on the shows, like the hooligans and being around them. And
yeah,
it was just... You know, because we did the hooligan stuff. Like, me and Cliff started out as tag there.
Yeah.
The hybrids. And we did some stuff with them. Then we did some with this group called Feature Presentation, which is a buddy of mine, Eric Ruffington, and Blake Steele.
Yep.
We did some stuff with Zero Gravity and Springfield as the tag run. And it was just, it's good times. I'm starting to go on a rant here, but.
No, that's what this is about. Just kind of reminiscing about the olden days. So then, see, when I was first coming around, Gresham had the belt.
Okay.
So were you the one, did you drop to
yes.
him? Okay.
Yes, the original plan.
Because when you started, but when you said 2012, yeah. I know when I started coming around, 01 was like 2013, and yeah. I knew Gresham was, so I didn't know how what the.
Well, the plan with that was to have Gresham take the title over to Japan.
Because that's what turned it into a world title.
Yeah. Or just because he was doing a big tournament for 01 in Japan. That was a whole, the ladder match is good on there. It's still, it was his first ladder match. He was a little nervous. Uh-huh. John was phenomenal. I got to work with somebody else. You know, I can't really talk, I guess all my stories, I have to edit certain people out cause they're canceled now, but
different but, times, brother.
Yeah. But Travis Banks, it was good to work with him. But he, the whole idea was that is I'd held this belt for so long and Dave had done this gimmick where we did a tournament and the winner got the medallion and he wanted me to, this is the very first time, this is the only time that I've really like said, no, I'm not putting someone over.
Yeah.
He wanted me to have a ladder match or have a match with, Espy. Espy beat me for the belt and then, Gresham cash in his medallion because everybody was doing the Money in the Bank shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I said, no, Dave, give me, if I don't mind putting, losing the belt, but it does nobody good for me to lose to a heel and then Gresham just cashes in right there. Just put me and Gresham in the ladder match and I'll put him over. Like, I've earned this opportunity to put the belt over and it will mean more coming, him taking it from me. Yeah. And it wasn't even a thing about I didn't want, you know, to go under to Espy. I didn't care about that. But it to me, it cheapened what I did and it cheapened
the legacy of the belt.
Like if I lose to him in a ladder match, me and him lose. Like he beats the guy that's had it for. Yes, because sometimes people in they book for that one pop. But he's gonna get a pop beating me. He's gonna get a bigger pop, us doing a ladder. That was a show that I did a cage match earlier in the night. Swamp Stomp number two with
we've talked about the fabled Swamp Stomps.
This is the one that Bear and Brian McGee had gotten a fight. I got some story. I got a weird story about, you know, Brian McGee is
The name sounds familiar.
He's in jail right now in Tampa for killing his girlfriend, the wrestler.
Oh, that's him. Yeah. Oh, what? Don't say it because it's on the tip of my tongue. Future
Donovan Reddick. Well, I think that was his worker name.
It was Future though,
yeah,
right?
Future. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Okay. Yeah. I didn't know his shoot name.
Yeah. So
I remember when all that happened.
Yeah. Well,
I didn't know this guy, but V told me about it.
Okay. That's paid show stuff because
okay.
I got a wild, like the universe all, I know you had said you want to talk about the butterfly effect. But yeah. The universe all kind of weaves in. Sometimes I feel like I'm the Forrest Gump of professional wrestling.
Cause you're just there. Just keeps running. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's like you kind of are the Forrest Gump because like you were telling stories on the car ride last night. So yeah. And you're just casually dropping these names. Yeah. So Mox is sitting over there and he's talking about how he's getting ready to go do
this. That's what the butterfly effect is like.
Yeah.
Oliver Kane leads through everyone's fucking history. WrestleMania main eventers, AEW main eventers, ROH history. Like, it's all around Oliver fucking Kane in some sick way.
Dude, you got, I'll tell you, speaking of something funny, like, I saved Generico's life.
What?
There's some pictures I have, and I don't have that video, but it might be online. I wrestled in a four-way against Generico, Davey Richards, and I think Mike Seidel. Not Matt, but Mike.
Yeah, his brother.
Yeah, I love Mike. He was such a good dude. And I caught Generico on a flip dive. And when I caught him, I picked him up like with it, like, and took him down real easy. Sorry, inside baseball. And when we landed, he goes, "Thank you so much." Like, like he was so like when I saw him without the mask, which, you know, I would tell you what he looked like, but I can't because
it was horrific.
He's in, you know, Mexico with them orphans.
Actually, no, he did. It was confirmed he did pass away.
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
Oh man, I would have sent flowers.
Yeah.
Or
Yoo-hoo.
Send money to the orphanage. Can I still?
You can send Yoo-hoo.
Yoo-hoo. Well, you know me, I'm a philanthropist. Oh, I wanted to make that sunny joke, but that will get cut. If you know, if you watch Always Sunny, you know exactly the joke.
Yep.
Kids and animals. But yeah.
Jesus Christ. But anyways, you saved El Generico's life.
Uh-huh. And I worked Eddie Edwards earlier in that night. And I had worked Eddie with just after he got back from Japan. Like Noah. So that match is online, and the chop handprints on me was. But I'm putting this match together with Eddie, and I am so respectful because it's Eddie Edwards, bro.
Yeah.
It's Eddie Edwards. And not to jump around, but like I was always cool with Davey and them from his trainees. I worked with his trainee kids, and then Davey actually got us in Zero Gravity, our ROH tryout, where we did phenomenal, but then Booker's changed, you know, which is the story of wrestling. Which speaking of ROH, to tie it all back in, there's a video where Kevin Steen attacks Generico. And Generico's all bloody, and it's in Chicago. If you watch the video, I position myself in the camera, so I'm like in the fucking ring in the street, the whole time. Like, while Steen's cutting this promo, here's my goofy ass, just like,
like just shocked. Like shocked, yeah.
But so I'm putting this match together with Eddie, and he's like, da 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 da, and we're talking about, and he talking about my comeback, and I'm like, all right, I do this, and I was like. You don't have to bump me. You're Eddie Edwards. Because in my head, I'm still 145 pounds. And I'm not more now. It's probably like 170. And he's like, okay, well, what's your finish? And I do a triangle choke. And he goes, okay. And I'm expecting we're going to do like a no finish gimmick because he's Eddie Edwards.
Yeah.
I don't know if he had won the ROH title. I don't think he had won the ROH title, but the American Wolves were going like
full
speed. And he goes, okay. He's like, well, you got any way of getting it? I was like, well, I can do a thing where like you go for like a schoolboy and I shift it into it. And he goes, okay, well, we'll do that. I go to give you the basement gimmick or the backpack stunner, blah, 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 blah. And he goes, all right, go for the sunset flip. I mean, go for the schoolboy. You catch me in the triangle choke and I tap out. I'm like, huh?
You're going to tap out? Like, what? Like,
to me?
What? And he's like, yeah, I talked to Davey. You're cool. You're very respectful. And I'm like, so in my head, I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, to him, I'm like, okay. But in my head, I'm like, this is Eddie Edwards.
Yeah.
What am I? That fanboy inside you is like, what?
I'm like, and it's just not even like it's just the respect I have for the man that I, when I came up, when you got something, you earned it.
Yeah.
It was a big deal. And it, to him, he was like, yeah, you're cool. You're a cool dude. No, I'll tap out for you. And I'm like, okay. Like,
yeah. Holy shit. Yeah, that's definitely because like that's the whole thing of like, oh, don't tap out. It shows your weakness.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, he didn't pass out for you.
Yeah, those are the, like, you would imagine it to be like, you'd be like, oh, yeah, you can hit me with your finish. You can beat me, but I'm kicking at three. You know, just shit like that.
The Hogan, so then, the Hogan line.
But I implore you to look that up online.
I will.
And to hear the chops. It's in the match.
We'll post the fucking link on the Facebook page.
Yeah, we'll find that match.
And you can see the chest, like, my chest is purple by the end of the thing. And it's like, these are like Noah chops. He just got back and it's like, thwap. And I'm like, oh, okay. He's like,
yeah.
I'm just going to chop you all match. I'm like,
so does that mean you work Japan?
I don't know. I took a clinic from somebody who had been to Japan. So I can count it, I guess. Right. Is that how we do it?
That's the way we do it now. That's the way we do it now. Like I told the story of the worker that took a Gold Dust seminar and said that he was trained by Gold Dust. Like it's, a bit shit like that, but yeah,
I'm sorry. I just have so many stories and they bleed into each other.
No, that's literally,
that's what's great about being around you. Like the stories from like out of fucking nowhere. Like last night on the way home from Ohio, like you're schooling Shank on him working a WrestleMania main event.
It's quiet for a second. He just goes, you know, Shank worked a 2-time WrestleMania main eventer, right? And I go, and Shank goes, I did. And he's just like, yeah, think about it. And then he's like, Oliver, I don't know. And he goes, Kevin Steen. And he goes, I worked Steen? And it's like, yeah. And then Oliver laid out the scenario. And Chank was like, oh, yeah, I did. I remember that.
He goes, holy shit, I did work with Steen.
Yeah. And he's like, wait a minute. What did he main event? It's like, dude, he fucking main evented with Stone Cold Steve Austin on night one. And like, it's like, and you worked. Like, it's so weird to see those.
And then the tag match the next year, night one.
Yeah. 2 years in a row, man. Like, because I was thinking, I was like, wait a minute. Like, because I was running through my head, I was like, Seth? But like, no, Seth only main evented once. And it was this year. And it's like, who? who the fuck else could it be? Like, because there's not many people that have done it back to back. And then
I thought he was trying to pull a sly one and say like Drake for reffing or something.
Yeah. Well, you're like, say it's like, yeah, you know, Jason Ayers, you know, he was in that. He was in that match.
Shout out to him. I'm glad he's back doing it again and healthy again. Jason is, I'm so proud just to be associated at all with seeing him come up. I mean, I'm not associated. No one's like Oliver. No, but I mean, to see it, like, to be
firsthand from like day
firsthand one. And being on at places with him sometimes, and then just see him go from, you know, Podunk, Indiana, to then he was doing the Dragon Gate USA stuff. And then he was doing, I'm so happy for him, and he just deserves all the success he has. And,
yeah,
you know, the he was showing me the lasers they were doing on his to grow the bone back. I'm like, laser therapy, what the hell is that? And he goes, I don't know, it's supposed to help. So
yeah, they're saying that it's good. So
ain't it crazy to think that like more famous referees come from Indiana than actual workers?
Yeah, that is crazy. That's weird to think about. Because like, yeah, who is the definitive Indiana like made it wrestler? I mean, Warrior, right?
He wasn't in Indiana for a long time either.
He was born in Indiana.
So was Mick Foley, though.
Axl Rose? No.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Joseph Williams, man.
Yeah, Future. Yeah, shout out to the Future. So, you know, you talk about Jason and whatnot. Like, who's the, oh, my God, pinch me. Like, this person made it, like, that you got to work with. I'm sure there's a handful.
I don't know if I have any that pinched me. Oh, you mean that?
That you're just like, holy shit. Like
that I couldn't believe they made it, or that I knew they were like, there was two people that I got to work with. Well, I got to work on shows with one. The other one I got to work with. But seeing Tyler Seth rise, and, you know, I was working on the AEW shows, helping set up the ring and doing dark match stuff after he had his back surgery. When we did our ROH tryouts, he was the champ. To see him become what he is, and just, you know, it's awesome. He put all that work into it, and, you know, he came from basically nothing, and you know, SCW shows, being on there with him, and we never faced off. I did make sure I did a cool spot with him in a battle royal. I did the old I stole it from Spanky, because Spanky's my dude. Shout out to Spanky. I did the skin the cat in a battle royal, and then when I stood up straight, I had him give me a low super kick.
Oh, hell yeah.
So, and then Jimmy Jacobs got in on that too. So they both super kicked me, which was kind of, Jimmy Jacobs was always nice to me. Mox, I knew he was going to go somewhere. I just knew it. You could tell, like, he was a prodigy. Like, that era of the Sorg house at HWA, I think that's 2008, 2009 when it was going. Like, there was not a promo that Mox didn't cut for Insanity Pro in Indiana and HWA in Ohio when we were, you know, running the Pulse with Chris the Brain. Shout out. He's got a great podcast. Sorry.
Go ahead and plug. Yeah. That's
Bulletproof Action.
Okay.
Great podcast about action movies and all that. Him, Chad Cruz, Ryan Campbell. Just hearing, you know, sometimes I listen to your guys' podcasts and them just to hear familiar voices on long car drive. I know that sounds sad because I'm by myself. But
he misses us, Dickie.
But
so you essentially got a live spot show last night on the way back from Ohio.
Yes. But it was definitely a paid one.
It was a paid show. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it was because of content. But yeah, he seeing Mox go through that and seeing the steps, and I've been a part of some weird wrestling moments.
The like, butterfly effect, bro.
Yeah, well, I got to see the debut of the LA Knight character when it was Dick Rick Lycus. My first match in HWA, it was a tag team against Dick Rick, who later became Eli Drake, who later became LA Knight. And we were doing this Peoria show, and he's listening to this podcast and playing for everybody. And he's like, man, you got to hear this. You got to hear this. And then he goes out there and he's like, yeah, let me talk to you. And
we're like, what? Like,
and this was, you know, I made a post about it on Instagram because I actually went to the Peoria show to take my son to see Cody Rhodes because that's his dude. And that's, I saw it, you know, Ayers there. And then LA Knight was in the match, and it was just so like a full circle moment to see, cause this was the town where he debuted the infancy of this character, and to see what he's done and been able to do when I remember riding in car rides, with like riding in a van with him, or being on small shows with him. It's amazing. I remember when he first like got one of his first big gigs as an Aldi's commercial. So it's really cool. And
you know, we don't talk about Aldi in this household.
But I mean, there's little things that stick out in your head. One of the guys that, rest in peace. He was a phenomenal talent that I wish more people could find footage of him, is Richard Phillips. He went by Deja Vu. He was in a tag team that kind of, it was a smaller black guy and a big black guy. So they brought us in to work with them. And we had been working with Don, Mississippi Madman, rest in peace.
Oh, I love Madman.
And KC. So we had, me and Cliff had all these spots for big little guys. So when we got to HWA and they put us in there, we kind of recycled them, and they loved us because we put them, made them look good. Yeah. I heard this from Hurricane, but it was something that I was doing anyway. The way to get over is come up with spots that put your opponent's moves over.
Yeah.
It's because then they want to work with you. But we loved those guys. But he went on to do like this King Vu gimmick, and then he had this character called Black Jaws. And I hadn't seen him for a while, and he did the Black Jaws. And he did this thing that I keep trying to give somebody to use, and nobody uses it. But he had an entrance song. But Vu would be in the gorilla position or right behind the curtain. And while the music's playing, he's screaming, I'm moving away. But he'd be going, hold on. He'd be going, So like,
yeah.
So like while his music's playing, you can hear him scream and over the music like a Pavlonian, like, oh,
like a madman.
Here he comes.
Yeah. So if anyone wants to use that, I mean, you heard it here on Spot Show Podcast. You gotta be a big give Oliver Kane credit.
No, give Richard Vu Phillips.
Oh yeah, sorry.
Black Jaws credit. He was the man. But yeah, it's just I gotta work John Moxley at IWA Mid South as a fill-in guy. We went out there and had fun, and then because of that, they ended up making me the light heavyweight champion. So I'm the only guy in history to hold the IWA Mid South light heavyweight championship, and the NWA Midwest X Division championship simultaneously.
Yeah,
which.
Yeah. It's funny that you mentioned Madman. Then we're going to start to get the little rapsky here. Then we're going to go into paid show. This is going to be a fun paid show.
Yes, it is.
I say that every time. But I've said this before, so this is old hat to people that have heard the podcast. But I always, anytime Madman comes up, I always got to bring it up. My weirdest pinch me, this no way this fucking happened. Not because I couldn't believe it, but it was just like so out of pocket. The weirdest wrestling match I've ever been involved with. It was the Mississippi Madman versus, in a handicap match, Dexter Swartz, shout out, teaming with Jordan Grace, managed by Dickie Wabash. Those Thursday night throwdown shows back in the day were fun.
What is that? Sounds like a Mad Lib.
Oh my God. It was literally just a
Cards Against Humanity lineup.
Covered all the demographics.
Yeah. Yeah, that was literally just a plug and play, like, who's here? Let's throw this match together.
Some of the funnest stuff is that.
Yeah. Yeah. So. It was fun. Like, it was really cool. But Madrox, you've got a question that you love to ask our guests every time they're on.
All right. What's the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to you in the ring?
Oh, I can't. Besides my concussions and. That was not fun.
That's not embarrassing. That's just CTE.
You fucked up.
No, in the back when the amnesia hits you, it's not fun. But the most embarrassing thing was early in my career. Oh God. It's the only one that came to mind right now. So I'm at CCW and he knows you weren't there.
Yeah.
At this early part, everybody freaking turned and changed alliances and went baby heel. Every show there was like two people that swapped. It was just wild, you know?
In the same two in a rivalry.
So I just got kicked out of the was it the Chosen Few?
Yeah,
it was the Chosen Two, Travis Weir and Dustin Flowers.
Yeah, the Chosen Few. I just got kicked out like when I came on and I started like wearing black because you know that's what you did.
Yeah, he switched from red to black. That's how you can tell he was
orange. I was orange first time. Yeah, that was my gimmick. I'm Oliver. I wear red. Hey, if it
I'm Oliver. I wear red.
Hey, if orange works for Kenta Kobashi, then purple, then or green works for Misawa. Whatever, yeah. You know? But this is, yeah, erase that from your mind. But so anyway, Cliff just got turned on by the Chosen Few. That show. But the show before, I got turned on him. So I come in for the save on Cliff, right? Bump all these guys around, turn around. I see Cliff on the ground. Instinctively, I go and I stomp on him a couple times and then run out of the ring. Why'd you stomp on me when you saved me?
This is when you transferred from Crossroads Kid to Jason Light, is it not? Is it that turn?
It might have been because and I'll tell you the quick story of why he went from Crossroads Kid to Jason Light.
Yeah.
Because he needed a real name when we were going other places. And one time we were at the back of a SCW show and we met with Danny Daniels for the first time trying to get on AAW. Okay, trying to get on AAW. And Danny was eating and we introduced ourselves and he goes, "Hi, I'm Kid." And he goes, "No, give me your real fucking name."
That's awesome. That's the story of Jason V giving his shoot name, and the I don't remember who he gave it to. He was like, "That's a terrible name. That's a terrible worker name. What's your real name?" And the V being like, "No, that's my real name."
You can tell what era you came into knowing me by beginning by what you call me, because I got a couple Donovans last night. But yeah, it's
you're always Uncle Oliver to me.
But no, it was a. Yeah, I ran in to save somebody and I stomped on the person I was supposed to save. And then I realized I stomped on the guy that I was supposed to save. So I just ran back out of the ring.
Panic attack.
It's just what happened.
Shit.
Man, I got to tell you, this was all that I'd hoped for and more, Oliver. This was a fun little interview. We're not over. We're going to be going into paid ski. But before we do, tell us where we can find you on the social medias.
What's the Twitter handle, brother?
I don't have one of those. Wink. No. I don't know. I'm on Instagram at Hybrid Kane. Facebook, Oliver Kane.
Yeah. How can they? What's the best way to get a hold of you to?
Probably Facebook Messenger.
Yeah.
Or Instagram. Just go ahead and message me. I'll get back to you.
At some point.
Yeah. I don't have an email set up for that. And I don't know. I just don't feel like starting a new thing. You know
what I mean? It's like, brother, I'm 20 years in. I'm just, you know,
will reply. I'll look on the dates. I'll pull up the time tree I have with the wife that she set up. So I know what we're doing.
That's funny, because when we first used you for Mad Bash Wrestling, we were trying to think of people to bring in to work Dalton Davis. And he's like, "What about Oliver?" And I was like, "Oliver Kane? Oh, fuck yeah. That'd be so dope." And then Madrox messages me and goes, he's like, "What was the date?" And I was like, "I give it to him." And he goes, "Okay, Oliver just checked with his wife and she said that he can come out and play."
Hey, but you know, I'm at that point now where other things are, I love wrestling and I love being able to do it, but you got to have balance. And
yeah, you've canceled a couple of dates, not canceled, but no. When we first come to you with a date, be like, "Oh, can't do it."
Yeah,
can't do it.
Something comes up, because sometimes
something family that
sometimes
day.
Family, whether it's a graduation, whether it's a wedding, whether it's, you know.
Who are you seeing in concert again?
What?
I said, who are you seeing in concert again?
Everybody. I got Kenny Chesney, this Justin Timberlake.
That's the one.
You know, sometimes
that's the one we can't use before. JT.
Sometimes you just got to go meet Hayden Christensen too. That's all I'm saying. But yeah, we're going to be rolling into paid ski. Madrox really isn't on social media. You can find me on Instagram at DW_mischievousrabbit. Patreon.com/MadBashStudios, MadBashStudios.com. If you're on the Patreon, we'll see you here in just a second. Immediately turn this one off and go on to paid ski, because, hoo boy, if you thought this podcast was good, Oliver has flat out told me in messages, he says, "I'm already planning my paid show. Forget the podcast. I'm planning the paid show." So, all right, guys, we'll see you there on paid ski.